On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was known in the sound of a rushing wind. God was identified in the wind as Spirit before, though. The Spirit who hovered over the deep before creation in Genesis 1, driving back the waters of the flood in the days of Noah in Genesis 8. Parting the waters of the Red Sea as the Israelites pass from slavery into freedom, and as a still, small voice to Elijah. Winds of biblical proportions can bring down trees and rip off house siding. They have the same origin as those that whisper through the willows. Winds in a tornado can get up to 220 miles plus and devastate a community. And yet, a light evening breeze can make one of these late spring evenings on the porch more pleasant, pushing aside the humidity and letting the bugs prayerfully reside somewhere else. The Holy Spirit was made known in the wind. In the same way that you and I use wind chimes and wind socks, flags and pinwheels to show the movement of the wind. Their presence highlights the movement of the wind, not predicting it or creating or controlling it. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is wild as well. Who knows where the Holy Spirit might blow. As a follower of Jesus, amid these gales, there is movement for the church, for you and for me, to new and unexpected places, prayerfully for grace as well. Sometimes it's only in retrospect that you and I see this, that we can look back and see where the Holy Spirit has already been at work instead of just a storm that was in our presence. To say that the Holy Spirit is with us, to say that we are a church together, even when we feel in the midst of shelter in place apart, is something miraculous already about the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure we don't miss that part. The Holy Spirit who communicates, bringing people together, overcoming barriers that could divide us. It's harder right now than it's been at other times. Our Pentecost right now may not focus quite as much on the foreign languages. It could well be the communication across multiple mediums, the healing of loneliness, the mending of brokenness, the addressing of woundedness, and the spreading of compassion. Look for what God might be doing. You see, the Holy Spirit is wild but not unfocused. The Holy Spirit is sometimes depicted as a dove, as in the baptism of Jesus. Back in January, we talked a bit about this orthontology as we celebrated the baptism of our Lord Sunday, and we talked about how the dove is similar to the honing pigeon. And like a honing pigeon who focuses in on the intended target and location, delivers the package diligently, so does the Holy Spirit upon the children of God. Like the sound of a rushing wind, like tongues of fire, are dreams and visions for the young and the old, the men and the women. If you and I were studying the Greek right now, it'd be even more evident. It's not a casual or a chance encounter. If you'd like to maybe possibly receive the Holy Spirit, could you just put your hands out and you could possibly, if you wanted, receive the Spirit? That's not what it says at all. The original Greek helps us to understand. The Spirit's already here. Take it. Come. Step up. You've been filled. You have what you need. And now that you know that, let's take the next step as children of God. You who are young and you who are old, you who are male and you who are female, you who are black and you who are white, you who are Asian and you who are Latino. The dreams and visions of the Holy Spirit, the prophecy and the movement of the Holy Spirit that come through you, brother and sister in Christ. The possibilities for our future that are bold and beautiful, different than what you might have been used to and facing into God's preferred future. The Holy Spirit comes to comfort and encourage, to gift and empower, to inspire and to create, to prophesy and to dream, but to convict and to forgive. Jesus told the disciples that they had the power to forgive sins and retain sins. But the discernment to do so is through the work of the Holy Spirit. Friends, you and I are a part of a nation that is reeling after days of protest and internal torment, after multiple deaths. After not only the deaths from a pandemic, but the deaths of George Floyd and of Breonna Taylor. The incident between Christian Cooper and Amy Cooper. However, the pandemic of institutional racism has been going on longer than just this week, longer than just this month or even this year. As we talk about the breath of the Holy Spirit, there are those among us who have been telling us, I can't breathe. Have we been listening? I wonder. Susan Henry Crowe, the General Secretary of the United Methodist Church's Church and Society, spoke on behalf of our church this week, saying these words, the United Methodist Social Principles names racism as a sin, and states that it is antithetical to the gospel itself. My white brothers and sisters need to recognize our complicity in a culture of systematic racism and condemn white supremacy as sin. Churches must address this racism within their own communities, and the words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, will only be recognized when you and I address the causes of racism that pervade our society. The winds of our Holy Spirit is blowing. You and I are called to reflect where it is that we've committed and omitted with racism and white privilege, sin that's harmed others. Aaron Hawkins, the General Secretary on Religion and Race for the United Methodist Church, spoke a bit further. She says this, Jesus continues to call us to discipleship. Leave behind the comfort of power and privilege that lure us away from following him to uncomfortable places, and instead move intentionally to the pain points in our local congregations and communities, denomination and world. Only then will we effectively interpret the narratives that defend and accommodate such racist behavior. Only then will we fully dismantle the systems that perpetrate, protect, and normalize racism. But here, she says, this is where it gets tricky. United Methodists have already developed a propensity to focus on racism out there in the world. Meanwhile, quietly accepting and participating in less dramatic but equally defensive policies, words, and actions that amount to placing a knee on the necks of people of color within the church. Ouch, her words sting. In the final analysis, we hear her words that call us to action. Her words that call us as a community of faith to make this opportunity to be transformed anew by the breath of God, while being conformed to listening to one of God's children who called, "I can't even breathe." You see, friends, wind transforms everything in its path. The Holy Spirit focuses intently on the one who receives the gifts. How will you receive the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you and the power that God has given you? Let the power of the Holy Spirit transform you. The commitment to confession and the promises about the future must go beyond open-ended and broad generalities. There are some excellent resources that you and I have to do this kind of anti-racism work together. It's linked down below, and I invite you on this journey. If this is new to you, there's a particular article that's great to start with by Peggy McIntosh called Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack. There are those who recently through Lent read together the book White Fragility, and I invite you to invite them into conversation. I know that they would love to share it with you. My own commitment to anti-racism includes intentionally increasing voices of people of color who are already speaking on through books and podcasts, through articles, and into my life so that I can listen as well. You see, the Holy Spirit is wild. We might have tried to domesticate the expectations of God into a box, but God never remains there. We partner with God, you and I, for the liberation of the world. Like the disciples who waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit, we too have been waiting for Pentecost, for the coming of the Spirit. God's been with us and working for the transformation of our hearts, our churches, our community, and our world. We are, friends, a Pentecost church who's been changed by grace, and it continues to be transformed by love, visibly serving and changing the world around us. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. This, my friends, is the gospel. It's the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.